Well, I always loved to read books, of course, growing up, but I think I can remember in the second grade that I sort of got into, in elementary school, I got into the dinosaurs. There were a bunch of books on dinosaurs I remember then. They had names like Brontosaurus and Tyrannosaurus Rex and all that, and I think some of those names have even changed now, not even the same thing that we used to call them. But I can remember that they were, of course, the reptile animals, as science would say, and they'd say things like this: dinosaurs roamed the earth millions of years ago. Many years before man, this prehistoric world, the land that time forgot. That's what, you know, I'd always thought. And I remember, of course, I never went to church growing up, never thought anything. The only thing I never could figure out is, where does Adam and Eve fit in with cavemen and all that and dinosaurs? And I just never could put all that together. I just didn't know. Here's my question, or the question for us. Did dinosaurs exist millions of years before man and before this world as we know it? How does that sort of fit? Dale Russell in Scientific America writes that dinosaurs roamed the earth 63 million years ago. Well, when did they exist? And, you know, I mentioned last week that I had done some research and I found a picture of a dinosaur, something that pretty fantastic. And so I thought I would show it to y'all. So I searched, and I had a couple of people even during the week say, "Where did you get the picture?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to tell anything until we can show it here." So I've got the picture of the dinosaur I wanted you to see, if we can get it up there. That's the best one I could find at this stage of the game, a dinosaur. But anyway, it used to say at the bottom, "Barney is a good ball player." So I just wanted you to know that. Did dinosaurs exist, and how do they tie in with man, and how does all this fit and all that stuff? Well, what we want to do is I want to look at four things, okay? We may get it all done today, and if not, we'll get some more done next week. But number one, when did they exist? Number two, what happened to them? Number three, is there some problems with what they call dinosaur mania or dinotopia? I mean, everything, you know. What about all this misinformation and things? And then, are there dinosaurs in the Bible? Can you go in the Bible and find dinosaurs? And so we want to look at that. So let's start with, when did dinosaurs exist? According to the world, dinosaurs existed millions of years ago, but according to the Word of God, all the animals that have ever existed on earth were created in that six-day time period. Remember, we saw Genesis chapter 1 and also Exodus chapter 20. Look at Exodus chapter 20, okay? Look at verse 11. This is where we studied, and of course, we went back to the book of Genesis. By the way, as you're in Exodus there, just think about what we saw for the last couple of weeks. We saw that there was day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. And on those certain days, there were plants, there were animals, there was man. All these things were created in that six-day time period. Well, was it six literal days and all that? And we said yes. Then you go to Exodus 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Heavens and earth and sea and all that is in them rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy." Now, remember, what he had told them to do was go ahead and work 6 days, rest on the seventh. Why? Because God in 6 days created the heavens and earth and rested on the seventh. That's the plan. It seems to indicate from the Scripture, when you study the Scripture, that all animals, plants, people, everything that's on this earth was created in that six-day time period. We looked last time, and we don't see long periods of time. We don't see millions and millions and millions of years, and those were not day ages, not the best that we can see from the Scripture. In fact, if you read the Scripture in its historical, literal, grammatical interpretation aspect, you're going to find it's six real days. And so that was all created in 6 days. So if you look at the Scripture, you're going to have to say, well, these animals that we call dinosaurs, if there were dinosaurs, that's how some people say it, I think there were, they had to be in that six-day time period. The Bible implies dinosaurs were there for Adam to name. And let me tell you something else. I think the dinosaurs were in the ark. You're going to find that at the time of Job, who lived about the same time as Abraham, we're going to go to the book of Job in just a little bit. And you're going to see in the book of Job, he mentions two different animals that we'll look at the description of these animals. And you tell me, what kind of animal do you think this is? I think at the time of Job, which was maybe a little before Abraham, which is 2,500 to 2,000 years before Christ, I think that there were some of these animals still left on the earth. Not 63 million years. The Bible talks about two creatures that are most likely dinosaurs. One's called the Leviathan and the other's called the Behemoth. And we'll talk about those, and we'll see more of that later as we get toward the end this morning. Did man and dinosaurs exist at the same time, or are dinosaurs 63 million years ahead ago, before man? How did all that fit? There's a place in Glen Rose, Texas, at the Paluxy River Basin, in which they have found. Now, some people dispute this, and I'll tell you all about it, but they have found both dinosaur and human tracks at the same time and in the same place. And they, some, many, the people who did these kind of studies say, obviously these tracks, a human footprint and a dinosaur track, they were here at the same time. In 1973, a film by John Morris, he called Tracking Those Incredible Dinosaurs. He shows both the dinosaur and the human footprint, same place. But other people have come along and said, no, it's really made up. And the human footprint was carved by man later. Now, what I found out, and this is, you know, you may have some different even study than this, but by 1982, there was a new excavation in the Biloxi River Basin, Glen Rose, Texas, same area, and they found under some rock that had never been disturbed, they broke it open and found, once again, dinosaur tracks and human tracks. And let me tell you what they found. WFAA, Dallas TV station, was there to film this. And they showed that they existed at the same time. So it wasn't like some Christians went down there and tried to do this. Blows the idea, really, that dinosaurs were millions of years before man. The best that these people who do all these kind of studies say, looks like the human track and the dinosaur track were put there at the same time. So did they live at the same time of people? I think they did. I think they were in the 6 days of creation. There were these animals, and they were there at the same time of people. Now, what happened to them? Well, what happened, most scientists explain that how they explain the disappearance of dinosaurs. They say millions of years ago they roamed the earth, they ate plants and animals, and the world was full of death and decay and all that. Dale Russell in Scientific America says there was a mysterious disappearance in the Mesozoic era 63 million years ago. He says the disappearance was a result of a catastrophic disruption of the biosphere by an extraterrestrial agency. He said something came out of the sky, hit the earth, caused the earth to change. Either a comet or a meteorite or something hit the earth. The shock waves called tidal waves spread tons of meteorite dust all over the world, blocked the sun, stopped the growth of plants, froze the planet, thus the end of the dinosaurs 63 million years ago. That's what they say. Here's an article I got out of Stillwater Newspaper, July 1991. Lake Reams calls sign of impact. That's how it says. Mountain View, California. This came from Stillwater News Press. A near-perfect semicircle of small lakes in Mexico is the latest evidence supporting scientists who claim an object from outer space crashed to the earth, leading to the extinction of the dinosaurs about 65 million years ago. Some scientists believe the impact of an asteroid or a comet pushed so much dust and debris into the air that it blocked the sun, halting the growth of many plants, starving the dinosaurs, and freezing much of the planet. They don't really know. They think somehow 63 million years ago, something came out of the sky, whether it was a meteorite, a comet, an asteroid, hit the earth, dust went up, blocked the sun, everything got cold, and plants all died, and these big animals died. What are some other explanations? If it wasn't 63 million years ago, but if it was the same time of man, of Adam and Eve, and the population growing off, then what could have caused the disruption or the change that these big old animals didn't make it? Because animals become extinct all the time. Why did these not make it? Well, I think that possibly a climate change after the flood. You remember there was a catastrophic event on this world, and it wasn't from an asteroid. It was from the flood, and we're going to see it in the next couple of weeks, that God said, I'm going to destroy the earth by the flood. He let it rain for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. But where did most of the water come from? Out of the sky? Out of the earth. The earth exploded. Water just gushers, and the fountains of the deep were opened, and the whole earth was just turned over, and it just all kind of things. And every animal, everything died. And you remember before that, there was obviously, and we're going to see it next time, next couple of weeks, well, obviously there was this canopy. If you read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there was a canopy of water above, surrounding the earth. And possibly the best that we can tell from that canopy of water, maybe the earth was a lot different than it is now. Not very cold and more almost like a jungle. And then after the flood, because all that canopy of water fell and the things have changed, many believe that they were just not able to adjust when the atmosphere changed and the whole temperature things changed in the world. And it did. We know that some of the animals and some of the things, they had to be, for them to be fossilized the way they were, there had to be some cataclysmic event that pushed them in there and the covered over and all of that, and most believe that was the flood. There's a second reason possibly why the dinosaurs didn't make it. They failed to reproduce enough and became extinct. Since 1600 in North America, there are over 500 species and subspecies have become extinct. So this happens all the time. Kenneth Cummins is chairman of the biology department at Christian Heritage College. He said there are three reasons for extinction of animals. One is called the mortality-natality imbalance. It's that more die than are born. It just happens. Sometimes more die than are born and they just don't make it. Some, he says, there's called the loss of a critical habitat. Sometimes the climate of the area changes. And like the owl in Oregon, they said that the climate changed and that owl didn't make it anymore. And then some would say that for the dinosaur, that because of the climate change throughout the world, they just weren't able to make it. Some say that there's what they call, he gives a third reason, he calls it minimum population density. He says it seems that there are certain limits seem to exist for some species, that when the number of the species gets below that limit, ultimate extinction is assured. He says they just won't make it after it gets down to a certain number. And he used the example of the whooping crane and the passenger pigeon. Both of those got to a small number, they just didn't make it. So what happened to these dinosaurs? We don't know. Most likely due to some major change in their... If you ask me, if you say, what could have happened if these animals, and they were, I think, were created in the six-day time period, they roamed the earth at the time of Adam and Eve and Noah and everybody else, and after the flood, and I think he put them on the ark, what happened to these animals that they didn't make it? I just think that with the climate change after the flood, they, over a period of years, they just died out. Now, third question, third big thing we're talking about, is there a problem with so-called dinosaur mania? You know, everybody's interested in dinosaurs and things are taught in our schools and they've changed names and they've come up with all these things. And I think one of the first problems is, but it's no different than what else is being taught, that dinosaurs are prehistoric, that before the history of man, long before the earth was the way it was, long before man and anything else was written, there were these animals that roamed the world. And that's what's taught as fact. Of course, the earth is taught as fact that we're old, and there was subhuman things and Cro-Magnons and man evolving up and being... I mean, all you have to do is turn on any of those educational channels and they'll show you, you know, subhuman-type people who can't communicate yet, hadn't discovered fire yet, kind of going on the earth sort of between a monkey and a man, between a gorilla and a human being, and they're moving on up and they're dinosaurs and all. That's what the scientific world just assumes. And so one of the problems that our kids are taught and a lot of people are taught, oh yeah, it's just automatic. 63 million years ago there was these things that roamed the earth. So the second thing is that all this to fit in has to make the earth very old. Now you know that the people who hold to the gap theory or to the day age theory would say that in that gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 was this time on the earth in which there were dinosaurs and possibly even subhumans, and but the problem with that is there's death. And death doesn't enter this world, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, until man sinned. And so it doesn't match that. It just doesn't match the scripture. The third thing I think that's a problem with dinosaur mania is that evolution is considered a fact. And we all know that. We all know that. I mean, when you go to school, they're going to teach as a whole. Some teachers teach it because they have to teach it. Some teachers teach it because they believe it. But the fact that it's a fact, I think in some parts and some of the things we can say, well, here's a theory of evolution. Here's a theory of this, and we can teach it. But a lot of people just assume it. And... there's also a thing taught that there was a time when the earth was inhabited only by these reptiles and not human beings. And so all of that is there. I think that if you look at the Bible, in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and man and animals and plants and everything. There's a lot of misinformation. Paul Taylor writes in Institute of Creation Research that nobody really knows exactly how these animals looked and what they looked like. We've got some skeletons, we've got some things, but nobody knows exactly for sure. I know that things have changed a lot since I was a boy. What we used to call dinosaurs and the names we gave to them are not the same as today, and they don't even look the same as today. And so I don't know what's all happened, but we've got different things. That takes us to our fourth question, and that is, are there really dinosaurs in the Bible? Were dinosaurs at the time of Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And I mean, here's Job. And Job lived about the time of Abraham. The way we know that, probably the very first book of the Bible, time-wise, is the book of Job in the sense when it was put together. Job lived at the same time of Abraham. Job was a patriarch of his family. That's the same thing Abraham. That's why most believe that the book of Job was about the same time as Abraham. In fact, probably Job lived at the same time of Abraham. Job oversaw his family, was the patriarch of the family, had his children. They met together. He offered sacrifices for his children. That's what we saw. So let's think about the book of Job. And what does the Bible say about dinosaurs? Were these animals that were created in the fourth and fifth day, were they on the ark? Did they exist at the time of Job? Where are they and what do we see? Job, if you want to, just go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Job 38. As you're turning there, let me remind you of something. In Job 38, or getting to this, Job's sort of a sad story. If you realize that Job didn't have all the information and God was testing Job in a sense to see if Job would trust him, and he did. It was a great thing. But Job has these three friends coming, and they start off by being real nice to him because he's gone through a horrible thing. He's lost all of his family. He's lost all of his possessions. He's lost everything. He's lost his health, and it's terrible. And so these three friends come, and for about a week they sit out and just weep with him, and then they start talking to him, and they start off talking good, and then within just a matter of a few verses they begin to say, you know, the real reason all this happened to you, Job, is because you're sinful. You're sinning, and that's why all this bad stuff's happened to you, and that's why throughout history, mankind, whenever something happens to somebody, sometimes they say, I wonder what they did wrong for that to happen to them. And, of course, Job says, Job's not saying he's not a sinner. He's just saying, I'm not in open rebellion against God, and these things that have happened to me are not because of my open rebellion. Of course, the whole book of Job is you just go with all these cycles of these three guys telling Job how bad he is. And toward the end, in verse 38, or chapter 38, after everybody's talked and everybody's been quiet, all of a sudden God shows up to set everything straight. And in Job 38, verse 1 says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, it's pretty powerful. Look what he says. Who is that that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? He says, well, who do you guys think you guys are? You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to ask you some questions, guys. Verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Where were you when I made everything? Who set up the measurements since you know? Who stretched out the line? Who put where the base is sunk? Who laid the cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea? Who stopped the sea? Who did all this? Who made the clouds? Who made the boundaries? And he goes on and on and on. And God's there saying, by the way, you guys are talking like you know something and you weren't even there. We get over to chapter 41. And we're going to see in chapter 41, and then we're going to go back to another chapter. And I want you to see two animals. And you tell me what you think these animals are. Okay? The first one in chapter 41 is called a Leviathan. It says, can you draw out the Leviathan with a fish hook? Now, by the way, we're going to see this animal, and I want you to see the description of the animal. Think about what it looks like, and you tell me what you think it is. First of all, he asks a bunch of questions. All the questions get a no answer except one. So, watch. Can you draw out the Leviathan with a fish hook? You know what the answer is? No. Now, whatever this animal is, it's not like you're going to throw the fish hook in the water and pull it out, and it's going to be a fish. It's much bigger than that. He says, can you draw out the Leviathan with a fish hook? Can you press down his tongue with a cord? I mean, can you catch him? No. Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? You think you're going to be able to get him? The answer is no. Look at verse 4, 3 and 4. He says, verse 4, I like verse 4. Verse 3 says, will he make many supplications to you or will he speak to you with soft words? No. Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him for a servant? Can you capture this animal and make him your pet? That's what he's saying. You know what the answer is to every one of these questions? No. Will you play with him as a bird or will you bind him for your maidens? No. Will traders bargain over him? Will they divide him among the merchants? No. You know, throughout history, man has caught animals and sold them and done things with them. He's saying, this is one you're not catching. And you're not selling him. Verse 7, can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Can you take a harpoon, stick in this thing, and kill it? You know what the answer is? No. I like verse 8. Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. You will not do it again. You ever touch something and you ever been with a dog and you went to pat some dog and he jumped and he said, I'm not touching that dog again. Well, this is not a dog. This is a big animal. And he says, you going to go try to get your hand on that animal? You won't do it again, let me tell you. Verse 9. Behold, your expectation is false. Will you be laid low even at the sight of him? That's saying, will you be afraid? You know what the answer is? This is the only yes answer. Yes. If you get close to this animal, you will be afraid. Verse 10 is the conclusion. No one is so fierce that he dares to arouse him. Who is he that can stand before me? Now, God makes the statement. He says, if I got an animal out there that you can't capture and that you're afraid of and that you can't deal with, how much greater am I than the animal that I made? That's what he's saying there. That's why he made that statement. Now, let's see the description of this animal. Tell me what you think it is. Verse 13. Who can strip off his outer armor? Who can come within his double mail? He has an armor-like surface. Armadillos, you know, something got a hard, I'm not saying it's armadillo, I'm saying it's got a hard surface. Who can open the doors of his face? Around his teeth there is terror. See, some people want to say it's an alligator. Yeah, well, let's see if it's an alligator. Can you have you ever captured an alligator? People ever captured alligators? Yeah, they capture them all the time, don't they? Watch what he says. His strong scales are his pride, shut up as with a tight seal. No one is so near to one another. No air can become, one is so near to one another. No air can come between them. He's got these scales that you can't pierce. Verse 17, they're joined to one another. They clasp each other, cannot be separated. It goes on and talks about he sneezes forth like lightning. It's pretty powerful. Look at verse 31. I just want you to see something. He makes the depths boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a jar of ointment. Behind him he makes a wake to shine. One would think the deep to be gray-haired. What does that mean? When he goes through the water, what happens? Turns white behind him. He's moving pretty fast. Alligators do that? Not like that. Verse 30, his underparts are like sharp potsherds. He spreads out like a threshing sledge on the mire. He leaves as he goes along the ground. He's got these sharp things sticking down from underneath him. And as he goes along the ground, he leaves this groove as he goes on the ground. Verse 18, sort of a strange thing. His sneezes flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth goes burning torches, sparks of fire leap forth. Out of his nostrils smoke goes forth as from a boiling pot and a burning rushes. What does that mean? Fire comes out of his mouth? What's a dragon? Now, it may not be fire, but it could be his breath is so hot that he went, you know, like in, you know, you've seen the movies and scared you to death. That big Jurassic Park thing screams at you and everything melts. And what could that be? Is this an animal? Verse 25, when he raises himself up, the mighty fear, because of the crashing, they are bewildered. Does an alligator crash? I mean, do you picture this thing going through the brush, through the woods, through the trees? Look what he goes on to say. The sword that reaches him cannot avail, nor the spear, the dart, or the javelin. Now, could you throw a javelin, hit an alligator, and kill it? Possibly. He says this thing means nothing. He regards iron as what? Straw. Bronze is rotten woods. Arrows can't make him flee. Sling stones are turned into stubble for him. Clubs are regarded as stubble. He laughs at the rattling of the javelin. What kind of animal is this? What do you picture it to be? It's a pretty big animal, whatever it is. It's big, it's got scales, it's got an underside to it. It goes in the water, it goes on the land. A sword, a shield, a spear. You can't capture it, you can't grab it. Whatever it is, it must be big and it must be powerful. What could it be? Verse 33, nothing on the earth is like him when made without fear. Verse 32 says behind him he makes the wake to shine. What kind of animal is that? That's at the time of Job. That's 2,500 years before Christ. Now, let's look at, there's another animal. Look at chapter 40. This is called the behemoth. Now, what does your Bible say it's what it is? If you got a little footnote, what does it call it? Hippopotamus. We'll get him from top to bottom. You know, that's what we're going to do, right? Hippopotamus. Chapter 40, verse 15. Now, behold, now, behemoth, which I made as well as you. Now, you know what hippopotamus means? It comes from two Greek words, by the way. Water horse. It's a water horse. That's what a hippopotamus is. Now, let's see if this is a hippopotamus. Because we all know what a hippopotamus looks like, right? Let's see if this is a hippopotamus. Now, behold, a behemoth which I made as well as you, he eats grass like an ox. Huh. Behold, now his strength is in his loins, and his power is in the muscles of his belly. Now, he's big. What kind of tail does a hippopotamus have? Huh? It's kind of a little bee tail, isn't it? He bends his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. Does he have a little bitty tail? No, he has a big old tail. I'm picturing one of those big old animals that I studied when I was in the second grade. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs are like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Let his maker bring near his sword. Powerful, strong. Verse 24, can anyone capture him when he's on watch? With barbs, can anyone pierce his nose? What's the answer? No. What do you think this is? Think it's a hippopotamus? I don't think so. What could these animals be? It's not an elephant. It's not a hippopotamus. It's not a cow. It's not... What could it be? What could it be that's big? That big with scales. What could it be? I think they're dinosaurs. I think the description of these animals, if you drew them out, you could say, that's a dinosaur. So I think dinosaurs existed at the same time of man, not millions of years ago. I think dinosaurs are described in the book of Job. I think they became extinct because after the flood, the climate changed. There was an imbalance. There were more deaths than births. Man hunted them, tried to get them. There were dinosaurs at the time of man, and I think we see two creatures in the book of Job. Now, let me stop. Questions, comments on this. I know time is on. We've already had one bell, haven't we? That first bell has already rung. Thank you for that sign. Thanks. Are you going to have a sign for the second bell? You do. Okay. Yes. Because the Hebrew word there is a word that means water horse, and so they translated it water horse because it's so big. That's how they looked at it. And see, for us, what was called water horse at that time may not be the same thing, because we don't call a hippopotamus a water horse. I mean, we don't. We used to say it's hippopotamus, but that's what the word means. But obviously, it's not a hippopotamus because of the tail and the way that it works. So what could it be? Who knows? No second bill yet? Okay, good. What else? Anything else? Yeah. I do. We're going to next. Is it next week the flood? Is that the next part? I can't remember the outline. But I think, yeah. We're going to talk about the flood. We're going to talk about getting animals on the ark. And could all the animals get on the ark? I think he did. I think he took them on there. In fact, let's say it this way. Nobody said he had to take the biggest giant of all the animals on there. He could have taken a baby one on there. I mean, you know, God could have brought a baby. And you know, by the way, and this we'll see next week, he didn't go round them up. Noah didn't go out hunting them down and bringing them back. God brought them to him. And he could have brought no telling what to him. Could have brought little of the dinosaurs that we'd say these big things. He could have done that. But there's no doubt, even if you say big ones, there was plenty of room on that ark. If you look at the dimensions, the three stories, all that, that you could put everything on there. But yeah, I think he put them on the ark. I do. That's why I think they're still existing at the time that that Job writes. And we see that says it stays in the water, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't breathe, you know, because there were animals that maybe stayed in water, but also had to breathe as well. The only ones I think he didn't bring on the ark were the ones that could survive without oxygen. Yeah. Okay, let me pray, and next week we'll get into the flood and the ark, and that's so fun. We'll look at it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great day. Thank you, Lord, for this study as we think about dinosaurs. Lord, we know that there are people with all kind of different views, and I just pray that each one of us will just look at the scripture and think about what we see and just think about what we want to hold to. And Lord, the bottom line is we go back to the scripture to base what we believe on. And sometimes, Lord, there's not enough information to know everything, but as we look at your word, we try to gain the best information that we can. We know we were not there. You were there. You told about creating the whole heavens and the earth, and you described these animals and whatever they are, Lord. We just think somehow they may have been the dinosaurs that we find and talk about today. Thank you, Lord, for your truth and the fact that we can always go to the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.